Thank you for downloading from the BBC. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
Hello, I'm Steve Evans. Business Weekly today is all about wisdom and folly. The wisdom of people. Do we know best what's good for ourselves? Or should governments give us choices but nudge us towards doing the right thing?
The choices remain exactly the same. All the freedoms are still there. It's simply you change the default, you change the basis on which people make those decisions.
And the folly of unworldly mathematicians let loose on markets. Is it a bit like
going to porn school and realizing that all your teachers are virgins? That's a problem for the rest of us.
Plus, wisely keeping your spirits up with Lucy Kellaway. All in Business Weekly from the BBC. Now, there's an eternal debate over how much personal choice governments should let us as individuals have, even when we're determined to do things that are either immoral or just plain daft. If we decide we don't want to save for old age, for example, by investing in a pension, is that okay? Nobody's harmed but me, so why not let me decide what's best for my life? So runs the argument anyway. The counterview, though, is that governments have a duty to protect people even from themselves. Young people don't think they're going to get old, so they need to be made to save, is the line, leading to the words, of course, nanny state. But is there, I wonder, a middle way? A professor at the London School of Economics thinks there might be. Julien Legrand works in health and education economics. He tries to find ways of letting people have choices, but steering them in the direction that benefits society.
There are going to be some circumstances in which people make mistakes. And if people make mistakes about their financial decisions, about their health decisions, whether they smoke, whether they drink, whether they save too much or too little, then actually the state does have a right to intervene and can actually make them better off by doing so.
So let's look at two situations then. I want to buy a house and I want to borrow some money and I've got a great wodge of documentation which informs me in that detail what I'm taking on. Why should the state protect me from myself?
Well, with house purchase, probably rather less so, but with things like pensions, which are really complicated or can be really complicated, you're basically given, you might have all the information in front of you, but you're basically given too much information to process. I mean, the amount of information you're being given is beyond the capacity to actually handle it. Now, in those circumstances, the state can probably do better than you, frankly. It can process that information more effectively. It may be able to present the information in a more helpful and useful fashion to you, and it may be able to kind of narrow down the choices you have to make, so to a set of sensible choices that you can process.
What about smoking? I've made a decision. The state has made its decision about taxation of cigarettes, and I've decided I'm going to have pleasure now, and I won't live that long, but I don't care. That's my right. That's my decision.
Well, there are indeed people who actually have done that. They reckon it's probably about 30% of smokers have actually made a conscious decision of that kind. However, 70% of smokers, 70% say they want to give up and they just, for some reason, they just can't do it. Well, we might be able to nudge them in a way to be able to do that. For instance, this is an idea into which I've got a lot of trouble about, but we can float it anyway. Suppose you had something like a smoking permit. A permit to buy tobacco. And every year you had to get one of these permits. You had to go down to the post office, you had to fill out a form, show proof of age. It would have that advantage of showing proof of age, identity, and so on. In that case, it would be almost like a cooling off period. You make a resolution, a new year, I'm going to give up smoking. Most occasions you break it within 2 or 3 days because you pop down to the shop and buy tobacco, whatever. Now you won't be able to do that. If you want to break your resolution, you'll have to go to the post office, get the form, just be a little more difficult to do it. And in some sense, it'll help you, nudge you to not breaking your resolution.
The phrase that comes to mind is Big Brother, the great state, the government out there knowing best and telling you what to do.
Well, certainly when I floated some of these ideas in a public lecture, I then got attacked extensively by the British media, in one form or another, for being essentially authoritarian. And my email box exploded with pictures of Hitler and Mussolini and so on. Now, I would argue that actually I wasn't being authoritarian, I was actually being libertarian, because I was actually offering people the choice. The choices remain exactly the same under these kind of schemes. They still have exactly the same choices as they had before. All the freedoms are still there. It's simply you change the default, you change the basis on which people make those decisions.
What bearing does all this have on the GFC, the global financial crisis?
Well, I think many of these problems, the same sort of problems that lead us to have difficulties over things like smoking or indeed obesity or whatever, are also problems that you see, or the same psychological phenomena in financial markets. Take pensions, for instance. One of the classic results of this comes out of pensions. They did some studies showing that if you had a system where people had to opt into a pension scheme, about 20% of people would opt in, 80% stayed out. If you had a scheme where people were automatically enrolled in the pension scheme, then they had to opt out, only about 20% opted out. They can still make the choices exactly the same. You just change the default.
It is a great joy to me that people, when the state tries to make them do the right thing, say, I'm going to do the opposite. There is a reluctance, in some countries certainly, to do what governments want them to do.
Well, the great thing about libertarian paternalism is that they have every option to do precisely that. If they don't wish to be nudged, if they don't wish to move in this direction, they perfectly well can. They can perfectly refuse to do what the state wants them to do, and good luck to them.
It's just a little bit harder.
It's just a little bit harder.
Well, is Professor Legrand talking what philosophers refer to as poppycock? Can you have true freedom if the government is trying to show you down one particular path? Dr. Madsen Peary is sceptical. Dr. Peary, by the way, is president and founder of the Adam Smith Institute. He was a big intellectual influence in the Thatcherite revolution of the 80s. I asked him if the state didn't have some sort of duty to protect us from ourselves.
There's nothing wrong in principle with the state helping people to make the choices they want to make. There's a certain amount of inertia. I mean, one good example is something like 70% of people approve of the idea of organ donation, but a very small proportion of those actually go to the trouble to taking out a donor card. You know, you can help them by, when they apply for their driver's license, you can simply say, I do not wish my organs to be donated in the event of, you know, my being killed. You've made it easier for them to make the choice they wanted to make. Now, what Professor Legrand seems to be doing is to try to make it tough for people to make choices that the state doesn't approve of. I think that is incompatible with a free society. It's too nanny-ish, it's too 1984-ish, and it's not what the state is there to do.
That may be true, but taking on that example of the kidney card, what if the state were to say, we will assume that people will donate their kidneys should they die in a car crash, unless they tell us otherwise? What's wrong with that? It's still their choice. They can find the card somewhere and they can tick the box or ring the number or whatever. It's still their choice, but the assumption is the choice that benefits the state, society, all of us.
I think it's a very bad assumption that our organs belong to the state unless we specifically say so otherwise. Our organs belong to ourselves. If you give people the choice, I do or do not wish to donate, at a time when they're doing something that they have to do, like take out or renew a driver's license, you find you get the same proportion of people saying yes as answer opinion polls saying they approve of it. So you get the figure you want to without that element of coercion or the assumption that the state somehow has power or ownership over your bodily parts.
What about smoking, which I hear your argument about free choice, but smoking is complicated, isn't it? And that's because there is a very serious addiction that goes on with smoking. Tobacco is a very, very addictive substance. So why not license smoking?
Well, it's not really up to the state to do that. The state, fine, I'm quite happy to have them make it easier for people to quit. People quit more easily when they receive anti-smoking materials like nicotine patches or things like that. And certainly the state can make it much easier for people to have access to those by, for example, requiring them to tick a form, yes or no, I do not want help to give up smoking. I do not do or do not wish to receive anti-smoking materials through the mail. And in that way, you can increase the numbers of people who have access to help in giving up smoking without requiring licenses and state regulations and all the restrictions on liberty that are implicit in the Le Grand View of how to do it.
Should people ever be protected from their own stupidity? You think of all the great financial turmoil and the people who invested badly, perhaps people who don't put money in for pensions, that kind of thing. Basically, people who couldn't see what was about to happen because they were a bit stupid. Shouldn't they be protected from themselves?
I think it's a very bad idea to have the state go round assuming that most of its citizens are stupid and need to have choices made for them. That's not what states are for. The state is there perhaps to help people do the things they couldn't do otherwise, but it's not there to stop them doing the things they want to do. Fine, if people are going to do things that cause proven harm to other people, of course the state has a right to stop them. But if people wish to pursue a lifestyle that is thought by many to be not conducive to their health, it's not up to the state to stop them doing that. Otherwise, the state would ban mountaineering. It would ban probably alpine skiing or all kinds of sports and activities that have a high risk of injury. And that's not the state's job. It might be the state's job to inform people of those risks and let them make an informed decision, but not to stop them.
And that was Dr. Madson Peary. Our email address is world.business@bbc.co.uk. And there's a mountain there to think about. Send your thoughts to that.